I started 20 years ago, and as a stand-up comic, as a queer stand-up comic, as the fucking dyke, actually. I didn't have my name Leah DeLary. I was called the fucking dyke. I took that name because I would walk down the street and people would roll down their windows and scream, "You fucking dyke!" So I took it back to myself and became the fucking dyke on stage. The problem with that was after I performed for about 2 years in San Francisco, people would roll down their windows and scream, "You fucking dyke!" And I didn't know if they were fans or not. 12 bar and B flat. Oh, you're just giving me the 4 bar intro. Okay, got it. It's at home in a box. That's all I'm saying. Have a seat. You're tall. Stand back up. Oh, let's slow dance.
Down to my knees. You said that it's a phase, just something I'd outgrow. But I got a girlfriend and she's got a lawn that I'd sure like to mow. Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along, but I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong.
Hello, you're listening to show number 9 of the Lesbian Mafia, and I'm your host, Sandy. So I'm super excited that I have Leah DeLary on the show today. I can't even tell you, but I'm not going to go through my usual panic fit because I recorded the show 2 weeks ago. So I went through that whole panic fit, but it wasn't recorded, which is lucky for you. And it's a beautiful 4th of July weekend here in New York City, and I just got in. So I'm sitting down to record this for you, and I don't know if any of you've heard that former Vice President Al Gore's son was arrested on drug charges. He was driving 100 miles an hour on a San Diego freeway. And when they got him, he had something like almost an ounce of pot on him and a boatload of prescription drugs. Xanax, Valium, Vicodin, Zomol, Adderall. I mean, just the list was ridiculous how many different prescription drugs he had in his car without having a prescription for them. And he was pulled over in 2003 for pot possession. I don't know if they arrested him or not. Oh, I think he went to, rehab. Rehab! But he said, no! No, but I mean, what I want to know
Is he going to spend 23 days in jail the way Paris Hilton did? And I'm not saying she's not a dumb slut. I never said she's not a dumb slut. Don't mince my words. Because she is, okay? But 23 days in confinement for 23 hours out of that day in like a tiny cell for having a 0.08 alcohol level, which is one drink, okay? And I don't really, you know, I'm not really a big drinker or I don't really party or anything like that, but I know for sure, and, you know, come arrest me, but I know for sure that I have definitely driven with 0.08 alcohol in my system. Like, there's no question that I've done that. And I believe that I have also driven on a suspended license as well, but not for a very long period of time. However, her license was suspended for 30 days, and her attorney told her that it was reinstated. And she even said it herself on Larry King. She's like, you know, I have paparazzi sleeping on my doorstep. Why would I go driving around with a suspended license? I know that they know every move that I make. So, I mean, which makes total sense, and I believe her, okay? But I think that the legal system was a tad harsh on Paris Hilton. Okay? A tad harsh. 0.08? Mel Gibson has 0.08 blood alcohol level in his fucking, the pupil of his eyeball. Okay? If they didn't hype these women's charges up, like her, Martha Stewart, Leona Helmsley, if they didn't hype these women's charges up and throw them in jail because of ridiculous charges, women would never go to jail. So they have to do this every so often. They have to, you know, make up some ridiculous bullshit. Because you know what? It's bullshit what they did to her. I'm sorry. And I never said she's not a dumb hoe. But give me a fucking break. So I would like to know if Al Gore's son is going to spend 23 hours a day in confinement for 23 days. That's what I'd like to know. Or if they're going to send him to rehab. I wonder if they're going to do that. Again, rehab. Okay? 0.08. Whatever. And then she's, you know, she's a little baked. She was on Larry King and she said that she was reading the Bible and there, whatever, fine. You know, I'd probably be reading the Bible too. Whatever. And then Larry goes and he asks her a trick question. What's your favorite passage? Hello? Hello, hi, she's not the fucking Pope. Who the fuck has a favorite passage of the Bible unless you're like a fucking Bible freak or clergy molesting 5-year-olds? You only ask clergy that fondle your children, what's your favorite passage of the Bible? You don't ask a regular person. And then Larry said at the end of the show, he said, I don't believe her, that she was reading the Bible in jail. Whatever, Larry. Shut up, Larry! Now I know why your wife slapped the shit out of you that time. He was grabbing his wife by the arm in a restaurant, trying to push her to sit down, and then finally she ran out of the restaurant. He ran after her, and they had a slap fest on the sidewalk in front of a restaurant in Manhattan. And she slapped him so hard that he took like 3 steps back. I'd like to slap the shit out of Larry, too. Fuck you, Larry! And incidentally, speaking of clergy, I finished watching Deliver Us From Evil, which is, it's a hair-raising documentary, and it was written and directed by a woman. So, but anyway, so I want to ask someone what passage of the Bible. Ask Pope Benedict, who was in charge of the pedophiles division through the 70s and the 80s. Ask Pope Benedict what his favorite passage is when he was shuffling thousands of pedophile priests from one parish to another. And Pope John Paul at the time, he knew what was going on. You fucking kidding me? That they didn't know what was going on? He's a saint? That's a saint! I can't take it. But Pope Benedict, like 2 months after he got in office, I don't know how long it was, but like the minute he got in office, he started speaking out against gays, saying that they have to speak out. It's their moral duty to speak out against homosexuals because they destroy themselves. When Pope Benedict was accused of conspiracy to cover up sexual abuse in the U.S., and at the Vatican's request, President Bush granted the Pope immunity from prosecution. And then they tried to scapegoat that the priests were homosexual because a lot of the abuse victims were boys. Maybe they spoke up more because everybody knows that like 80 or 90% of abuse victims do not come forward, especially little girls. And even considering that, there was 100,000 victims that came forward for sexual abuse from clergy. That's in the U.S. alone. And they're just starting to come forward in other countries now. And in this film, it was just based on one priest in one county in California. And he abused so many kids, he's not even trackable because they moved him around so many different times. And the cardinals, the bishops, all of them, they just blatantly lied on the stand. Complete deception and lying.
And the cardinal in that archdiocese is fighting sexual abuse allegations against 556 priests. That's just in his diocese alone. He's still there fighting allegations against 556 priests. What world is this that I live in? I feel crazy. And it's not like rabbis are any better. Because the rabbi across the street, Rabbi Beller, he offered to drive me to work one day, which was years ago, I remember. I was a child, practically. So I accepted because he's a rabbi. Because I felt like, oh my god, I have to accept a ride from a rabbi. And nobody taught me any better anyway. So I got in the car with this lunatic. And next thing I know, he's got his hand on my leg and he's trying to put his hand up my skirt. And I did manage, I don't know how, but I did manage to push him off of me. And then he dropped me off. And when he dropped me off, he did this blessing thing on the top of my head. And if I didn't push his arm away, I would have been finger banged by a rabbi. So all of these religious people are disgusting perverts. I can't. You know what? I have to bring on Leah Delaria because you know what? If I think about this too long, no, really. Really. I went to Catholic school, okay? If I think about this too long, good God. All right, I've been rambling. What, you know what, Larry King? Go ask Pope Benedict what his favorite passage is of the Bible. I've gone on long enough. I think I'm getting carried away. But so I'm going to bring on Leah Delaria, and she is a multi-talented comic, jazz singer, and she's just done it all over the past 25 years. Definitely give her a look up because she's a pretty incredible woman. And without further ado, Leah Delaria.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going good. Did you get through more easily this time?
I did, but now I hear an echo.
Maybe I should try calling you.
Are you serious?
Yeah, maybe I should try calling you.
Yeah, maybe it's this crappy $5 calling card that I bought.
Yeah, that's probably what it is. That's going to mess you up every time. Give me your phone number, sweetheart.
Okay, 718.
Okay. Call you right back.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Lots of girls get nervous when they talk to me.
So you've experienced this before.
It's the standard.
Right.
Especially the pretty young ones.
You're killing me.
There you go. My job.
So I'm really, really excited to introduce Leah Delaria to the show. Hello and welcome.
Hi.
And we had a little bit of technical difficulties, and I really feel like really bad about it. But you're so lovely and just darling. I'm really
lovely
excited.
Lovely and darling. Know how to make a butch feel good.
So I'm calling, well, we're talking to you, and you're in London right now, right?
Yes, I am.
So you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
I'm on the Warner Jazz UK label because Warner Brothers Jazz in America went under a couple of years ago. There is no Warner Jazz in America, but there's still a Warner Jazz in the UK. So I have a kind of a pretty big singing career over here. That's why I'm here. I spend pretty much half of my time here in Europe and half of my time in America. So in America, I do stand-up and singing and acting. Over here, it's primarily 90% all music, singing.
And they must love you. Yeah. So where are you performing now?
Well, right now I'm at Warner Jazz working on my next record, which will be recorded live. It's Smoke in New York City on the 26th and the 27th of October. So we're just in the planning stages now and hiring musicians and all that. So I'm not actually performing. It's business. And, you know, I was really lucky because I got to go to Eastbourne last week, which is the women's international tennis tournament that they have right before Wimbledon. So all the, like, named players come in and play Eastbourne on the grass before they play Wimbledon. So I got to see, like, Maresmo and Hannon, and that was fantastic. It was great.
Wow.
I know, I was really... And let me tell you, man, Amelie Maresmo is a man who menstruates. She is humongous. She is so hot. I was like, I'm so glad. And she's out, right? She's openly gay, right?
I don't know.
I'm positive she is. Because she even does, like, gay endorsements, I believe.
Oh, wow.
She's fantastic, man. Well,
that is really
exciting. She blew me away. I was really bummed when she lost the final. She lost the final to Hennen. But it was just a great, great day. I had such a good time while I was there.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
And lesbians everywhere. It's hilarious to me. It's like, and they showed her on television here on the BBC. Uh-huh. And it's like, how are they actually getting shots without lesbians in it? The director that's calling these shots? But find the two straight people in the stand and focus on them. You know? Because it was just packed with lesbians.
So that's a really good place to go then.
Oh, man. This, I'm telling you, to the lesbians of America, get tickets to Eastbourne because all the name players are there. And center court tickets are like 24 pounds, so it's $50 for the day.
Wow.
Get a cheap flight, come over, watch the women's tennis, and pick up a date. Just, you know, two for one.
And learn some tennis. Wait, isn't it Gay Pride Week out there soon? Or
yeah, it is. It's actually Gay Pride on Saturday, but I'm flying into Provincetown on that day.
Oh, wow.
Because I open in Provincetown on the 5th of July. Wait, at the Art House.
At the Art House. Okay, so what are you doing there?
Well, I'm doing my show. It's called Delightful Delicious Delaria. It's the music of Cole Porter and the comedy of Leah Delaria. And every year I do a different show, and I write it kind of specifically for, when I'm there, I write it specifically for the kind of people that go to Provincetown. You know, drunken queers from the Midwest. And,
oh, my God, Leah, I can't.
I'm going to get you in so much trouble. And this year is no exception. It's a crazy show. I've been writing a lot of great stuff.
Okay.
And I've been noticing a lot of things about what's happening with us, with queer people in America, that's upsetting me. So I'm talking a lot about it in this show.
You want to give me a little taste? Like,
well, let me just say that I sense and feel a sense of conservatism in our movement that I find disturbing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to address it in a really strong way in the show.
Yeah, and you
might say.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you might say.
I think you
I just find that there's a middle class mainstreaming of our movement. So we become more gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgendered. And when you know what? I was reading something the other day, and there was a Y on the end of it, and I thought, now I'm frightened because I don't know what the Y stands for. It's gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and then I found out it was youth. But it was like. We're segregating ourselves constantly. And, you know, since we've gone from being queer to being this, I'm concerned about exactly what is it that we're fighting for. Because right now it seems to be we're fighting for Madison Avenue so that a few people can make a lot of money.
Oh, right.
That's mm-hmm. what I'm seeing.
Yes. Wait, can you tell me what was the why? What was it?
The why was youth. It was gay, lesbian, bisexual, transsexual youth.
Right, that's a lot. We're all in the same pot, right?
Yeah. It's like, you know, when we used to be queer, and I'll be talking a lot about that, about how we used to be queer and how we were rageful, and now we just seem to be somewhat complacent. It feels like it's almost as if the powers that be in our movement are saying, don't rock the boat, because then you'll get the red states mad at us, and we won't get the president that we need, or something.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah, I noticed that nobody really cares about, like, anything anymore. I don't.
It's this kind of middle class thing that people seem to care about. But meanwhile, queer people are still being murdered on the streets. And I think we need to address these issues. That's all. You know, like I was in Palm Springs recently. Well, it was about a year ago. I was in Palm Springs performing at an AIDS benefit, right? So it was
right.
a gay event. And I started trashing the president. And they turned off my microphone and pulled me off the stage.
This was in Palm Springs?
Palm Springs, right. So, you know, I'm thinking, what's happened to our mood? What's happened that I can't even trash the president at a queer event?
That's
you know what
crazy.
I mean?
Do you want to say what queer event it was or no?
It was a benefit to raise money for the Desert AIDS Association.
The Desert AIDS. Okay, I'm sorry. Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, I started to trash the president. And then they put out all this press that it was because of my language and blah, 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 blah. And that's crap. I'm an easy target for language always. That's been a big issue of mine, right?
Oh, my God, you so are.
Well, I know. I'm an easy target for that. But, you know, the reality is, mm-hmm. please, Lenny Bruce did this. Almost 50 years ago, Lenny Bruce was dealing with this, right?
Right.
We still have to talk about the difference between words and intent. So I'm an easy, that's easy. They'll say, oh, it was her language, or she's so dirty, or oh, she's so sexist, or whatever it is. The reality is I was there, and so were a lot of people. There were 1,300 people there, and they know that they turned off my mic when I trashed them.
And so what
they turned my mic off.
What was your reaction, Leah?
Hmm?
What was your reaction, like your immediate reaction?
You be so, I, you know, I've gotten older. When I was younger and by the way, what kind of language can I use on this, by the way?
Any kind. It's totally...
Okay, great, because it's a podcast, right?
Cool. Yes, no FCC at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I was younger and was the, you know, when I first started performing, I was the fucking dyke in San Francisco. That's
right.
What I started performing as, right?
Right, right.
People who are really old Leah the Larry fans know that. Mm-hmm. So we're talking 25 years ago in April that this was, right?
Wow.
When I was younger, I was way more rageful, really very easy to get me going. Mm. I'm a little older and a little wiser, so when this happened, I actually said nothing. And I just let them hang themselves. And they did. They really, it caused a great problem for the organization at the city. But yeah, I had a couple of great zingers. one of the guys at the event, they auctioned off a trip to Puerto Vallarta, and he bid $19,000 on it. So he came back, he yelled at me, he said, how dare you trash the President of the United States? And I said, well, how dare you trash the Constitution?
Good and, for he, you. So,
and he said, I made a donation of $19,000 for a trip to Puerto Vallarta, and I'm going to rescind my offer because of what you said about the president. And I said, are you sure it's because of what I said about the president? Or a little bit later now, you've sobered up a little bit, and you've realized $19,000 is a lot to spend on a trip to Puerto Vallarta. I know. And at that point, he was going to try to hit me. People had to get between us.
Oh.
This was a log cabin Republican, one of those gay Republicans.
Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah. So he didn't get to you, did he? He didn't touch
No. Mm-hmm. If you tend to keep a cool head and be a little more clever than people like that, they generally will resort to violence. They'll throw something. They'll throw a punch.
Yeah, I would think.
They'll try to hit you.
Yeah, I'm wondering if you probably inspire a lot of those type of feelings in men.
Oh, I do. Remember the late Reverend Phelps, who was probably the most hated man in America?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, at the gay pride rally in New York. Oh, this had to be maybe 13 years ago. It was one of his first ones there. I got him to swing at me. I got him to take a swing at me, and he had to be hauled off by the police because of it.
No, he didn't. It didn't land on you, did it?
No, it didn't land on me
okay.
because there was a barrier, but I got him to try to get over the barrier and to hit me.
I love
and
it.
I spotted him past the point of no return.
Oh, my God.
And
love
he
it.
Lost it. So, yeah, you know, there's a way to get those people.
Hey, let them take the first swing.
They carry their signs, and they can say whatever they want, and we can be on our side, and we can say whatever we want. But if either one of us tries to cross the barrier, you're ejected.
Oh, right.
So
okay.
I got him to try to cross the barrier. He was ejected. It was a lovely moment in my life. I wear it proudly, that patch.
And you should.
Uh-huh.
Leah, where can we find you online?
Well, I have my website, which is DelariaDammit.com.
Okay. Was Leah Delaria taken?
Yes, it was.
Who took it?
You know, there's people that do that.
Bastard.
Some asshole wanted me to pay him money for my own name.
Oh, my Lord.
So yeah. I think Delaria Dammit fits me better anyway.
Yes, it totally does. And what about, do you have a MySpace?
You know what? We're working on my MySpace as we speak. We have someone setting the whole thing up.
Okay, because I need you. We have to be friends.
I am behind on the MySpace thing. I admit it. I'm behind on the whole computer thing. Believe me, I was thinking of making my email address dinosaurdelaria at IOnlyGotAComputer2002.com. Okay. I'm just one of those late bloomers in computers, but I'm catching up fast.
Well, you need a 19-year-old girlfriend to get you up to speed. That's
well, you know, my problem is, darling, as I've only had 19-year-old girlfriends my whole life.
And I guess you didn't do a lot of computer work.
Right. And I had agents, managers, publicists. You know, I have two agents and two managers and two publicists. For every career that I have, there's a different person involved in it. And they do all of that. And it was finally, I went, you know what? Everybody in the world, when your 10-year-old nephew can do a computer and you can't, it's like time to learn. So I got past that phobia.
That's
and now
the
I'm
thing.
Pretty fast
that,
on it.
That's the thing is that those are the people that know how to do it is the 10-year-old kids. They know everything.
You know, that really annoys me when I'm like somewhere that I need to make a business call and my cell phone doesn't work, but the fucking 10-year-old kid next to me can find out, you know, who won the hockey game at school.
Right, right while he's playing, like, songs. And, right.
Really annoying. Fucking little shit.
So I'm kind of losing my place here with my little page of questions.
Do your thing.
Okay.
It's all good.
I got to tell you, I was a little scared to talk to you because I read an interview with you and I can't remember who it was with. And he asked you a question, and you told him, you said, oh, God, that was so dry. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm fucking horrified.
You thought I was going to just drag you, did you? You know, when you get interviewed a lot, sometimes, every now and then, you get this one person who will ask you a question you've never been asked before, and which happened to me recently, and now I can't remember the question. Isn't that weird? And I went, oh, my God, no one has ever asked me that question.
Oh, wow.
And like I told you, I've been doing this for 25 years, so I have been a professional lesbian for 25 years.
Yes, you have.
And then, of course, before that, I freelanced, but... Now, you know, this is what I've been doing. So I've been, for 25 years, I've been being interviewed. Do you know what I mean? Every now and then, I like to pick on him.
I think he was getting on your nerves, and I was trying to figure out, where did he, like, go wrong? Like, where did he get on your nerves?
Oh, it could have been anything.
Right, anything could have triggered you at this point.
It might have been a press junket day, and he could have been the 10th interview in that day. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm releasing a record or a book or a movie or something, you know, you have press junket days.
Right.
And, yeah, and pretty much everybody asks the same question. And you try to be interesting and do your question and blah, 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 but, you know.
Yeah, it just gets annoying.
Yeah, it could have even been that. It could have been anything.
Right, right. So now, I just watched Outlaugh before I called you. And I was the whole entire thing. Well, first of all, you were like insanely funny. It was ridiculous how funny you were. But the whole thing was hilarious. Where did they film that?
It was filmed in Los Angeles. They did this gay comedy festival there, and I guess I was their big, you know, headliner.
Yeah.
For that event. And, you know, they called me up and asked me, would I do this thing? And I wasn't sure I wanted to do it. But the thing happened at Palm Springs. And that's what made me go, oh, I'm doing this.
Oh.
I kind of have not really been doing stand-up. I've been acting and singing. And I think people know that about me, especially like in New York. They know that I haven't been doing the regular stand-up thing since I did On the Town, right?
I see.
Since I got this, you know, leading the Broadway show, I haven't done it. But they really wanted me to do this thing. I was like, I don't want to do it. And then this thing happened at Palm Springs. And I went, you know what? I need to do more stand-up. Because there's something happening to us, and it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you broke
it. I've always been the loudmouth, lefty, radical, bad girl. I'm going to have to be the one that addresses this, because the other ones have a different agenda.
What is their agenda?
I don't know what their agenda is. I'm too busy trying to keep mine.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
I learned a long time ago not to deal with whatever other people, you know what I mean? I don't look at other people's careers. Of course, I'm aware of what other people are doing. You read about it in the papers because I'm aware that way. But whatever their agenda is, that's their business, you know?
Right, right.
I was like, I can't be a fly around somebody else's pile of poop because mine's big enough. I need to stay on my pile of poop and deal with it.
Absolutely. And, you know, while I was watching you, went into your act, and you were talking about how you don't really desire to be married, that you think it's not really your thing, getting married.
Right.
And that's definitely one of my things, is if you want to be married, I fully support it, but I just, you know, it's not really something I'm interested in. I never had.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you want to eat the same pussy for the rest of your life, eat it, is what I say. You go right ahead. But, you know.
Right, right.
I feel the same way about marriage. See, I don't think straight people should be married. It's like, look, I think that the monogamy is a situation that causes a lot of problems for people personally in this world. And, you know, look, a lot of people want that, but I question what it is inside us as queer people that feel that we need to emulate straight people to be respectable.
Oh, my God, I love that. That was great. Okay, so...
What is that? It's internalized homophobia. There's some sort of internalized homophobia that says, my culture is less than theirs. We have our own culture. We have our own way of doing things. We should celebrate those things and stop trying to be gay straight people, because that's what's happening.
It's so true, and my sense is that we're just ashamed of our own people, and we don't want to be.
Fuck yeah, and here's the other thing. We've started having this bizarre hierarchy. Look, if you want to have a baby and you want to get pregnant, or you want to adopt an Asian baby and name her Emily and raise her as a white girl, fine, okay? If that's what you want to do, great. But when did it somehow become less than for me not to want to have a baby? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, all of a sudden!
That's been going on big time in our community.
What is that?
You can't throw a rock without hitting a pregnant lesbian.
Oh,
what is? And again, if you want to do that, that's great.
Right. Now suddenly we're like the bad, evil lesbians.
Somehow
that don't want
we're
children.
Bad because we just want to be us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Why do we hate ourselves, Leah? Why?
Well, of course we live in a society that's taught us to hate ourselves. And the moment we pop out of our mother's womb, you know, we're taught to hate ourselves. If you're a woman, you're taught to hate yourself. If you're black, you're taught to hate yourself. If you're, you know, if you're queer, you're taught to hate yourself. If you're not a straight white guy.
Right.
You know, I was sitting in this place called The Garage in New York.
Okay.
It's on 7th Avenue. I was in town last week doing this revival at the York Theater. Does these musicals that they do revivals of.
Okay.
You rehearse them for a few days, and then you do like 8 to 10 performances.
Okay.
So we were doing a revival of It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman, which is the same creative team that did Annie and Bye Bye Birdie.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The lesser known musical of theirs. So I was in town doing that. I had a day off. I went to The Garage.
Okay.
And it's like a little jazz club, sort of,
okay.
garage. And it's right on 7th Avenue in the Village. And everybody was talking about gay pride because it's coming up, right?
Right.
Are you going to work on gay pride? I won't get anywhere near it, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right.
And one of the musicians there, all the jazz musicians in town know me because, you know, I'm a jazz singer. So they were sitting down with us. And this guy next to me goes, yeah, I'm going to have bald white guy day. And I said, yeah, we already got that. It's called Every Day. And he goes, well, a parade. I said, yeah, we got that, too. It's called Wall Street. You know? This guy was like, it was funny. And his friend who was playing with him was laughing his head off. He was like, don't you know better than to say shit like that around Leah? She's not going to let that ever slide. You thought what you were saying was funny, but it wasn't. It was bullshit. And I find that kind of crap offensive, you know?
Yeah, right, because he was joking, but not really joking.
He was joking, but not really joking. And look, I say, good for you, pal. If you have an opinion, you step right up and say it. But once you express your opinion to me, that gives me the right to then tell you what I think about that opinion.
Absolutely.
Right? And I do it every day.
Right.
That's what I do. I express opinion.
Thank God.
I do it every day, and I leave myself wide open for everyone to tell me what they think of my opinion. And you know lesbians, they won't hesitate to tell you what they think of your opinion.
Right. They tell you what to think of what you think.
Oh, they'll tell you what you should think, what they thought last week,
right.
what they're thinking about thinking about,
right.
and what they used to think, but now they think this. Maybe.
Leah, why don't you believe in monogamy? What is it about monogamy that you don't like?
You know, everybody has a personal choice about this. That's all I'm saying. Monogamy doesn't... This is my personal life. This is your personal life that we are discussing here. Monogamy doesn't really work for me.
Really?
Okay?
Right.
I'm not saying it's the cause of the world problems like, say, religion is. Okay?
Right.
But it doesn't really work for me. And, you know, I spent years being in non-monogamous relationships, only the other person in my relationship didn't know it.
You
know? So it's been quite recent that I've said, you know what, non-monogamy, that's it. So, yeah, I have a girlfriend. We've been together for almost 6 years.
Wow.
And we are in a non-monogamous relationship, and it works just fine for us. But it raises some real eyebrows when you tell people that.
Absolutely. Like, immediately, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't imagine any woman that would put up with that without wanting to, you know, strangle you.
Oh, well, there's plenty, believe me.
Yeah, because they're very possessive. I mean, women get possessive of you even when they've been talking to you just for a couple of weeks. So how do you
right.
swing a 6-year relationship and keep it non-monogamous? How?
Well, for one thing, we're both very unique individuals in that we are both in the world of entertainment, and we are both successful. We are both on tour all the time,
okay.
so we are away from each other a lot. And we are both adult enough to know the difference between sex and love. And we have rules.
Oh, right. So as long as you
non-monogamy is a lot harder than monogamy, honey. Trust me.
But a lot more fun, probably.
It's way more fun. You know?
I got to figure out how to do that. Get somebody to agree to be non-monogamous.
You just got to have the right rules.
Can I have one rule? What's one rule?
We have a don't ask, don't tell policy.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That's our first rule.
Mm-hmm. That sounds smart.
It's a great rule. It's personally not the way I would do it because myself, I want to hear all the dirty details so I can jerk off them, but she's a little more inclined towards jealousy. She has red hair. She's a little more inclined towards that anger around that stuff. So we keep the don't ask, don't tell policy.
Now, is who you're partnered with, like, is that personal?
No. It's, they write articles about us here in England. Her name is Jeanette Mason. Okay. She's a very well-known musician and composer here in Europe. For example, the next Bob Hoskins movie, the one that's coming out, it's called Ruby Blue. She scored that movie.
Nice, okay.
Yeah.
So you're both artsy and musical.
Yeah, we're like Irv and Kate over here. We're like the, we're the power dyke couple in England.
Oh, that's so hot.
But it's a different kind of power dyke because it's entertainment. We're both in that world.
Right, right.
You know, yeah, she's been the musical director of several television shows, like late night talk shows. It's her with the band, you know, conducting.
Okay.
Stuff like that. So, yeah, she's very well known.
So you guys are a big deal.
Well, you know.
I think so.
People say hi to us on the street. Let's put it that way.
Which is probably lots of fun.
It's fun. We have a good time.
Are we going over? Am I keeping you too long?
No, we're fine. I mean, she's in Portugal working right now. So I'm here working with the record label, and she's in Portugal.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you miss her?
Of course I miss her.
Yeah. So where can lesbians look for successful relationships that aren't full of, like, total craziness?
You know what I have to say to that? That the idea of anyone looking to me for a successful relationship is the most fucking hilarious thing I've ever heard in my life. You can line up my ex-lovers from head to toe, and it will span the earth, okay? And they are all laughing at that right now. Every single one of them.
Yeah, but you've been keeping this one afloat for 6 years, and that's a lot longer.
You know, at my age, that is nothing to brag about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That is absolutely nothing to brag about. I mean, look at Kate and Irv and how long they've been together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
There are people out there that have been together 25, 30 years. My best friend Bob and his boyfriend Paul, they've been together for, we were just talking about it, I guess 15, 16 years, you know?
Wow.
When I finally did hook up with Jeanette, that were like, yeah, we were thinking we were going to have to take care of you in your home.
Oh, my God.
Because you keep banging these teenagers.
What is it about the young girls that makes...
That's just what people my age say. Anyone under 30.
Just want to clarify that when you said Kate and Irv, you're talking about Kate Clinton and Irv Ashi, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Both friends of mine.
Right, right. So what is it about teenagers that you like? Is it just
young girls? I love young girls. What's not to like? What do you mean, what is it that I like? Their youth?
Right, I guess that was a silly question, right?
I just like women. I've always liked women. I have one guy ask, what do you look for in a woman? I said a vagina. I'm not that picky. I like women.
So when are you going to be back here next for P-Town?
I fly into P-Town. I open the 5th of July, and I will be running there until the 8th of September.
Wow, okay.
And then I come back here to England, and I'm starting with a monthly songbook series in London at a jazz club, Beats Express Jazz Club on Dean Street, which is really fantastic jazz club here. It's like it's the big jazz club. Every month I will have a different guest, and we will do a different songbook. Like the first one is going to be, it'll be Alan Cumming, and we'll be doing Gershwin.
Next month
is going to be Cole Porter, and then the third month we're doing, it's a part of the London Jazz Festival, so I'm going to do wall-to-wall women in jazz.
It'll
be all different women songwriters and different women performers doing it. So that starts in September. So I have to go back and forth a lot.
Okay.
You see, I'll be here doing that once a month, recording my record, just doing that. And the big news is that I'm going to be filming Leah Delaria's Big Gay Comedy Show.
Okay.
At the Boston Comedy Club.
Oh, wow.
On the 10th of September, we're doing two shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
I can confirm at this point that we have Jesse Tyler Ferguson of The Class, who's our first musical guest on CBS, The Class. And he's also the star of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which is a great Broadway musical.
Okay.
And Scott Thompson from Kids in the Hall.
Oh, wow. Okay.
On the first show.
You're really busy.
Yeah, I'm doing everything I do right now.
How do you do it? Are you the hardest working lesbian in show business?
Well, you know, Dave Attell, who's a very funny guy comic that I know from the world of stand-up, always calls me the hardest working black man in show business. He always says, well, here comes Leah Delaria, the hardest working black man in show business. No, it makes me laugh every time, and I shouldn't laugh at it, but I do. He's a nut job. I have a lot of energy. I have 30 or 40 orgasms a day. Keeps me fit. That keeps me out there. And basically what it is, babe, is that I have a lot of people taking care of a lot of different things so that I don't have to do a whole lot except be creative. And I spend a lot of time being creative. And I spend a lot of time watching women play tennis.
When I ask somebody to do something, it never gets done right.
Oh, well, they're salaried employees.
Right. Is that the answer? Money?
Yeah.
Right.
So that always tends to get people motivated.
Right. So you got to give them a motivation. And
cash
money
is king.
Cash is king.
Cash is king. You know, I'm lefty enough to not be that tempted by money. I was never tempted by money. If I had been, then I probably wouldn't have been out for my entire performance career.
Yeah. Do you think it's really important to be out?
I've always felt it was extremely important to be out. And it's a personal choice. I think people can only do what they can do, and people can only be where they can be, you know?
Yeah.
I was never upset at, like, Ellen or at Ro when they weren't out. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
People make the choices that only they can make.
Right.
You know, but then also you had to look at me. I mean, there was no way I was going on stage talking about my boyfriend, you know? With my bald hair and my safety pins and, like that when I first started. It just, people would go, what's that big-ass dyke talking about a boyfriend for, So I was out in who I was. When you're a butch, that's kind of what your life is all about, isn't it?
I guess so.
So it was important for me to be out. I was trying to actually make a difference. I was trying to do two things. I was trying to make a difference. I was trying to change the world. And I was trying to get laid. Not necessarily in that order. And I feel like I did make a difference. I was the first openly gay comic to perform on television. A lot of people saw that worldwide.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What was your first television show?
That was the Arsenio Hall Show in 1993.
Right, yes. What year was that,
93?
1993. Yeah, wow.
March 20th.
Yeah, and you went screaming around, I'm a big dyke, right? Or something like that?
It's the 1990s, it's hip to be queer, and I'm a big dyke. I remember saying that. I'm a big one.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, remember I said I had gay Tourette syndrome? I outed myself uncontrollably. But I would just go, like, at the butcher's, I need a quarter pound. I'm a dyke! Yeah, I just can't stop telling people I'm a dyke. There is to it.
All right, what I want from you right now is, what's your porn name?
My porn name?
Yes, the name of your first childhood pet.
Oh, the Duchess of Cox. Now I know what you're talking about. Yeah, my dog's name was Duchess, my mother's maiden name was Cox. That's great, isn't it?
That is definitely very...
Duchess Cox.
Wonderful. You would never, ever want to, never close off with a little ditty, would you?
No.
If you don't want to, I'll cut it out and I won't even say that I asked you. I would have spontaneous orgasms that you sang on Out Loud.
Trying to get free music out of me. Do you know how much people have to pay to hear me sing?
I would pay anything to hear you sing.
I'm sure you would. All right, let's think about this. Good night, my someone. Good night, my love. Good night, my someone. Good night, my love. To dream a dream is... Oh, I forgot how that goes. So good night, my someone, good night.
I need a cigarette. You're incredible. Leah,
great tongue, isn't it?
Very good tongue.
You
give good tongue. Leah, I'm so thrilled that you even gave me, 10 minutes of your time, and I feel I owe you.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you think that's nice what you did to me last week?
I know, I feel bad about it, sorry.
You stood me up!
I didn't mean to.
That's okay.
It was one of those things that we scheduled it ages ago, I put it on my calendar, woke up that day and didn't look at my calendar. Ran out the door.
That's okay.
Taking a bunch of meetings in town and completely forgot about it. Had my cell phone off. My manager couldn't even reach me.
Oh, dear.
Because I was, working. And then I came home, and the first two messages were from you, and I went, I sucked air all the way through the back of my head.
Good to know that you felt bad, at least.
Terribly bad. It felt horrible.
Aww.
Yeah, I felt terrible about it. I was really glad we could reschedule right away.
Yes,
so,
me too. Me too. I'm so thrilled. Leah, I love you so much. I can't even tell you. You have to be the most, like, I don't know what it is about you that is just so... I'm being a douche. I'm sorry. I'm being like a total sap.
You're not being a douche. You're fine. This is going to air.
I'm going to put this up in... I do it bi-monthly.
Right.
So it'll be 2 weeks.
Fantastic. You email Florence. She'll get back to me on it.
Wonderful. I love you, Leah.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Bye.
Bye.
So I hope that you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoyed making it. And I do not smoke cigarettes. I quit smoking in May 2003. It's one thing I could say that I'm really proud of myself for. So you could find Leah at DelariaDammit.com. And she spells Dammit with two M's. It's D-A-M-M-I-T. You can get her music on iTunes, on Amazon.com. You can check her out on YouTube, and her MySpace will be up shortly. And as soon as that gets up, I will let you guys know, as soon as I know. So I'm really glad that you are able to tune into this show, and thank you very much for being here. So I'm going to sign off, and I will talk at you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, so I'm supposed to be singing, and it's this festival, this thing, this AIDS benefit, and they were out in the Palm Desert, and they paid like $350 a plate to see this thing, right? And it's all very posh and elegant and conservative, Palm Springs. And you know, I can take that for about 5 minutes, and then I really just have to fart. Do you know what I'm saying? If there's anybody like that, I just really have to fart. So I'm up there, and I'm singing my song, and in my head I'm thinking, this is just enough, and I start to talk about George Bush. Because I hate his fucking guts. And what queer doesn't? Right, and I swear to you, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, in the United States of America, they turned off my microphone and dragged me off the stage. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. In the United States of fucking America, they turned off my microphone and dragged me off the stage because I talked about that guy. What did I say? What did I say that was so bad? What did I say? I just called him a pie-faced, dick-nosed son of a bitch. What's wrong with that? I hate them. I hate him. I hate him. Don't we all? I hate him. I hate him. I don't want to feel smarter than my president. It's too much to ask to have a president that believes in evolution. You know, so I'm just saying that. What's wrong with that? I just said that I hate him so much I hate his twins. But I'd fuck them. Girls, they look like party girls. I just said I hate him so much I hate his wife. But I'd fuck, no. Of course not. I would not fuck Laura Bush, dried up old cooch, be like going down on a Triscuit. Been when they turned off the mic. So fucking annoying. We used to be queer. Remember, we're queer. We fought for our rights. We're out on the street. We're turning over police cars. We were fucking queer. Now all we ever do is this fucking pregnant lesbian thing. It has got to stop. You cannot throw a rock without hitting a pregnant lesbian. No. I'm telling you, it's a butch's nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare. It's a fucking nightmare. Every bitch I meet wants me to marry her and be the father of her baby. It's a nightmare. We used to be queer. We were fucking queer. Where are we now? We're middle class, mainstream assholes that sit around and talk about how we're just like straight people. Oh, that fucking gay pride shit. Man, you know those gay pride... I can't even go to a gay pride rally anymore because I don't have enough pride for a whole fucking day, okay? Little mainstream faggot stand up there going, "You're just like everyone else." You know that asshole? We're like everyone else. We're like straight people. We're just like them. We're like straight people. We are like them and they are like us. We are like everyone else. Yeah. And that's when the 7.5-foot-tall drag queen walks by. With 3-foot spangled platforms and opens his butterfly wings.
Mama, can't you see I've always tried to please? I wore ribbons and jewelry and makeup and perfume and dresses down to my knees. You said that it's a phase, just something I'd outgrow. But I got a girlfriend and she's got a lawn that I'd sure like to mow. Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along. But I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong. And I'm a lesbian, I don't like nothing swinging between their legs. Yeah, I'm a lesbian, I don't know why God gave me eggs. When I have sex, it's fun and clean, and no man can jump in between. No, they talk behind my back and criticize my life, but I get no complaints from Lou Diamond Phillips' wife. And I'm a lesbian, I'd rather be with Jane than Dick. Yeah, I'm a lesbian, a penis doesn't do the trick. When we when does cheerleading practice start? Hey there, cutie.